I would like us to open our Bibles this morning to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Colossians, chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verse number 8 through to 10. Colossians, chapter number 2. I'll read from verse 8 through to verse 10. Colossians is a book just immediately after the book of Philippians. It's in the New Testament and just before the book of 1 Thessalonians. Colossians chapter number 2, I'll read from verse number 8 through to 10. Praise God. It reads, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Verse number 10 again, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Shall we bow down our heads for a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you this beautiful, beautiful morning for another opportunity to gather around your word. We are grateful. Lord, as we share your word this morning, let light shine from heaven again. Lord, bless the hearing of your word this morning. Let the ears and the hearts of your people be open to receive your word this morning. There be a fresh anointing upon them, not just to hear the word, but to be doers of the word. Lord, let grace and the anointing of the Lord come upon me to be able to deliver your word to your people in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God. Let this word bring a transformation, O Lord. Our desire, Lord, is to see individuals and families in our church being drawn closer and closer to you, being established in the faith, their faith growing and going deeper in you, O God. We just trust that your word this morning is going to help to accomplish that. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more, because we have asked in Jesus' name. And the church say aloud, amen. Praise God. You know, in the next 2-3 weeks, Tokyo Olympic 2020 is going to start. And it's interesting, I said Tokyo 2020 Olympics, but we're in 2021. You know the reason why. Obviously, COVID happened, and then it was, shifted to this year. And I understand that many of those sporting events are actually going to be taking place behind closed doors. That's going to be very different, you know. But interestingly, we're going to miss certain people that we have seen in previous Olympics. One notable person that we're going to miss is Usain Bolt. You know him. Usain Bolt still holds the world record of 100 meters dash at 9.58 seconds. Retired a few years ago, 2017 to be very specific, and it's not going to be there. But there will be other great athletes there, you know, that is going to actually be so very delightful and beautiful to watch. Now, apart from him having this world record in 100 meters dash, some of you might not know that he also holds world record in a team sport in 4x100 meters. It's a relay, you know. So there are other people in this team together. There were other people in this team together with him. And they hold the world record. They completed that in 2012 at the London Olympics, I believe. Now, if I ask you what the names of other team members are, it's very unlikely that any of you will probably be able to remember. Perhaps maybe some might remember, but most of the people will probably not remember other people in the team. But 4x100 meters is a team sport. No matter how good Usain Bolt was, he couldn't have won that if he was in the same team with some other people, you know, some other people that are not able to run, you know, very fast. So these other guys that were in the team with him actually made it happen. You know, they made the 4x100 meters title happen, and they made the world record happen for him, at least in that regard, because it's a team sport. We've been talking about the family. We started a series last week talking about the family and what we have titled, How is Your Family? And you know as well as I do that family is a team sport, is a team game, is it a team thing, you know? Is it something that is done not by one person? There is at least one other person that is going to be in that game, quote and unquote, with him. The family is a teamwork. Its success and otherwise, obviously, is predicated on the strength of the individual component unit. In this instance, when we're talking about family, we're talking about the singles coming together, at least the man and the woman coming together as single individuals to make a team. And they are raising a team of, you know, also other singles. We call them children. So that's the way we roll. The family is actually a coming together of singles or single individuals, and the success of the family is predicated on the strength of the individuals that make the component part of the family. This morning, I would like to share with you on a message I have titled, I am single and complete. I am single and complete. Now, I know that to make a healthy family, we need to begin with healthy units of singles. Now, please don't switch off on me because some of you are already thinking I'm not single. This message is just for the singles. No, don't switch off yet, because you will very soon realize that this is actually about you. And I mean that, and it's not just to keep you to keep engaged. It's because I believe this message is actually for you. Yes, I mean you, even though you have been married for many years. You know, to many of us, when we hear the word singles, we consider it as that status as bad, as ignominious. Some of us think of it as, you know, shameful, embarrassing, humiliating, second-rated, undignified. At best, we think that whenever we talk about singles, we're talking about someone considered to be an average person. That's at best, you know. No wonder many of us don't want to stay as singles, because we consider singles as second-rated. But it's important that we actually look at it from the perspective of God's word. And like I said, it takes singles who are healthy, who are strong, who are vibrant, coming together to make a very strong family, because it's a team sport, quote and unquote. So the question is this morning, why are we talking about singles in a church family, in a family sermon that is supposed to be about family? Why are we talking about singles? A few reasons. Number one, we have singles in our church, and we're proud of them. If you're a single in this church, I want to say to you as your pastor that I'm proud of you, you know, and I'm looking at you through the lens of this camera to say, we as a church, we're proud of you as singles. We've got singles here in our church, and we've got responsibilities as a church to be able to guide them in the way of the Lord, as we prepare them for a great future, as we prepare them to fulfill purpose. We've got singles who are singles by the reason of biological development. What I mean by that is that they are growing, they are developing, they are teenagers, they are in their early adulthood. They are unmarried. The Bible often refers to such people as virgins, you know. And I believe so strongly that such people need to remain that way. They are precious. They are precious people in the eyes of the Lord. We've got singles in our church who are singles by choice. They are considered marriageable. They've reached what you refer to in the society as a marriageable age, but they have not just got hooked up. They've just refused to get married. not some of them because they are actually still weighing a few options. Some of them are still, they've not come across the, what they call the right person, you know, the Mr. Right or Miss Right. They're not ready. They don't feel they're ready, you know, and we love them. We love such people in our church. They're part of our singles. We've got singles in our church who are singles by circumstances, you know, widowed, divorced, separated. And they are not second-class citizens in the house of the Lord. We love such people. Now, there is a category of singles that are not necessarily represented in our church, but who knows that maybe some of you people are actually online watching us. I don't know of many of those people in our church, if they exist at all, and those are the singles by calling. People that have been called into celibacy, you know, by reason of religious reasons or responsibility. All I want to say this morning is that whatever category of singleness that you fall into, we love you. And we have a responsibility to guide you as under shepherds under the bishop of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. Singleness is not a disease. Singleness or being single is not a disease. And it is important that we don't treat it as such. There might be stories behind your singleness and we're not going to be able to unravel all of the stories. But what I want to say is that as a single person in our church or watching us online, we love you because we know the Lord loves you and the Lord has a purpose for your life. Why are we talking about this in a family series? Like I said, because we've got singles in our church. Number two, because many, listen to me, people of God, many family or relationship crises are actually direct results of singleness problems and not marriage problems. And that's why we're talking about it. Listen to me, I will say that again. Many family or relationship problems or crises are actually direct result of singleness problems and not necessarily marriage problems. You know, it's just like in a situation where you're driving a car and you decide at point A that you're going to speed up. You know, maybe you're trying to catch up with an appointment. And so after a couple of minutes of, you know, driving, you know, like crazy, you turn the corner and unfortunately you lose your balance and you crashed the car. Now, the crash now got crashed at point B. But it's not at point B that the problem actually started. The problem actually started a long time ago when you decided to speed up. So you might have started speeding up at point A and crashed at point B. The problem is not at point B. It actually started at point A. Now, many of the things that we consider as crashed in our marriages and in our family today, they are not actually problems that are of today. They were problems that have been there since yesterday, day before yesterday, many years in the past. But because they were never addressed, they are actually the direct result of what is causing the crashing. What I'm saying, people of God, is this. You might be in marriage, you might be married now, but you are actually having singleness problems. And so, although your status has changed, but because you have not addressed the singleness problem, they are still coming up and they are still playing up, even in your married life. Being married does not necessarily, listen to me, being married does not necessarily blot out all your singleness problems. No, rather, being married actually exposes them. Being married does not necessarily, you know, clear up all of the mess of your singleness issues that you have refused to deal with. Marriage actually exposes them and bring them to the fore so that people would probably be able to see. So for some of you that are actually married, you might be married 5, 10, 15, 20, perhaps even longer. You might still have singleness problems to deal with, and that's the reason why we're actually talking about what we're talking about today. So marriage does not necessarily improve your singleness issues. It reveals the deficiencies of your singleness, the things that you have refused to deal with, or perhaps you are not even aware of them in years past and now being brought, you know, to the open. So marriage does not automatically give you a clean slate. What marriage does, it actually exposes those hidden secrets of your unfinished business. in dealing with those singleness issues. So that's why we're talking about this today. Finally, I also want to, we're talking about this, not just because we have singles in our church, not just because some of the marriage problems that some of us are facing are actually perhaps as a direct result of our singleness problems, but also because there are many married people who have singles in their lives, you know, singles in their sphere of influence. We've got singles in our church who have kids, you know, have teenagers, who have family members, nieces and friends, acquaintances. Because don't forget, we're not just talking about people that are single now. We're also talking about people that are single again. You know, single again by reason of the circumstances and situation in their life. So you might be the only person that have actually been in both worlds. Both worlds being you have been single and you've been married. And we want to equip you to be able to help the singles in your sphere of influence. Family members, friends, acquaintances, or even co-workers alike. The church is supposed to help to equip you so that you'll be able to provide a solution to the single problems in their life. So that's one of the reasons why we're talking about this. Now, let's get into it very briefly. What is exactly the most important lie about singleness? Now, there are a few other lies that are actually offshoots of this particular lie. But I want to concentrate on this main lie, and if we've got time, we might be able to actually expose other lies that actually are offshoots of this main lie. What's the main lie? I am single. I need somebody to complete me. I am single. I need someone in order to be complete. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, we read it this morning, and it says in verse number 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, I'm going to tell you there are certain things that is actually just based on the philosophy of people. Philosophy of men, the Bible referred to is as in this place. It calls it empty deceit. You know, they sound good. Some of them sound logical. Some of them sound appealing, but that doesn't make them the truth. It calls it the tradition of men. This is what is expected of the society. The society expects such things, but that doesn't necessarily make it the truth. The Bible calls it the basic principles of the world. This is the way the world rolls. This is the way the world thinks. But that doesn't make it the truth. And one of the things that is like the philosophy of men, like the way the world thinks, is that they kind of give certain pressure, some pressure on singles, giving them the impression that they need somebody else to complete them. And that's why I made the statement, I am single and I need someone to complete me. This, in my opinion, is the most potent recipe for disaster in relationship and in marriages. As a matter of fact, the problem that some of us are facing in our homes and in our families now are actually direct offshoot of this fundamental problem, because we jumped into a marriage before we are actually ready for it. We were hoping that once we get into this marriage thing, we're going to feel complete. We have so many incomplete folks, so many incomplete single people who are jumping into relationship expecting that the other person is going to complete them. The other person is going to, for instance, is going to make them happy. And after getting married, they discover that, oh, I'm not actually hitting, you know, it at the level of the happiness I was hoping I was going to get. Oh, maybe they will come. The happiness will come, rather. Maybe it will come at when kids start rolling in, you know. and then procreation begins, the first, the second, and they keep rolling in and running around like that. And rather than actually making this person happy, is actually making him or her much more miserable. Listen to me, people of God. If you are unhappy as a single person, I can guarantee you marriage is never going to resolve that problem. As a matter of fact, there is every likelihood that your unhappiness scale is going to grow up if you jump into it with the expectation that the other person that you have jumped into marriage with is going to make you happy, is going to make you complete. No one I will say this again. No one can complete you. No one, no human being has that capacity to complete you. And by the way, marriage is not half plus half equals one. It's not even 3/4 plus 1/4 equals one. Marriage is defined in the Bible, and I'm talking about biblical marriage now. The biblical context of marriage is 1 + 1 = 1. In other words, a complete man meets a complete woman to raise a complete family. It's a complete man plus a complete woman that makes a complete couple in order to raise a complete family. So in order for you, before you jump into that marriage or relationship, make sure that you are complete as an individual. Make sure that you have completely sorted out your completeness, you have sorted out your completeness issues before you jump into marriage, because you're not likely going to get complete by the other person. The other person does not have the capacity. He has not been built. He or she has not been built with the capacity to complete you. Now, the question you are asking yourself is this. So what completes me? Or maybe rather a better question is, who completes me? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 9. For in him, talking about Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you are complete in him. And you are complete in him. So your completeness is in Christ. Your completeness is in him. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Two things, two sides of things wrapped into one in this particular verse. How do I get complete? Number one, you've got to be in him. You are complete in him. And number two, you've got to make him the head, the lead, the Lord, and the master. That's what it says. Who is the head of all principality and power? So who is a complete single? A complete single is a man or a woman who is in Christ, who lives in Christ. And number two, whose head or whose covering is Christ. So we're talking about two things. Your connection with Christ and Christ as your covering. Connection, covering. You're connected with Christ. That's why the Bible says, he who is in Christ is a new creature. You are in Christ. That's what the Bible says in verse number 10. You are complete in him. So that's talking about your connection. You're complete in him. The other side of it is you're not just complete in him. You're not just in him, rather. You are also making him the head. Who is the head of all principality and power? So you have connection and you have covering. Say that with me. You have connection and you have covering. Connection, covering. You are in Christ, and then Christ is your head. And those two things are very important for you to have a complete human being, a complete person, especially when it comes into the context of relationship and of raising family and marriage, is a complete man and a complete woman. So the question you ask yourself is this: am I in him? And number two, is he my head? Is he my Lord? Is he the one taking the lead? Is he the one calling the shot? Because it is not just for you to say you are in Christ, which means you are saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17, that he that is in Christ is a new creature, is a new species of being. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's you being in Christ. And that's great. That's the connection that we're talking about. But it's also important that you actually make him your covering. Your covering talks about the lead. He's the one that is the head. He's the one that calls the shot. And the reason why I'm emphasizing the second is because we've got believers, members of the body of Christ, and people that claim to be saved who actually do not function under the leadership of Christ. In other words, Jesus is not the one that is calling the shot of their life. It's not the one that is making the decisions. They take certain decisions when they don't think it's important. They give it over to Jesus to determine. But a complete single is somebody that is in Christ in terms of connection, and in the person as is covering the lead, the lordship as Christ. So the question before you get into any kind of relationship with any man is to ask yourself, Is he complete? Or is she complete? And that also applies to you, because you are a dangerous specimen if you are incomplete. You are a potential dangerous specimen if you are incomplete, because if you are incomplete and you are looking for somebody, you are setting the pace to crash a relationship. It's just going to be a function of time. So you need to ask yourself that question as well. I mean, it's fair. If you are asking the other person, you need to ask yourself as well, am I complete? In other words, am I in Christ? One, connection. And do I have Christ as my covering? Is he the one taking the lead? Is he the one calling the shot? Do I take decisions on my own, or do I consult with his word to find out what his own will and own direction is before I move? Am I complete? And it's a fair question. Are you complete? And then you need to ask the other person you're going into relationship with, are you complete? Now, when I'm saying ask the person, I'm not suggesting that you sit him or her down and say, my guy, are you complete? You know, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, some people go to the extent, and this is not a bad idea at all, you know, to find out, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Do you know Jesus? This is the first question. In other words, are you in Christ? And then number two, do you recognize Jesus as your Lord, as a master, as the one, the head, the covering? Those are the two questions. And you need to answer those questions. When I say answer those questions, I'm not just asking you to base your answers on what the response of the other person is. You need to be able to confirm that that is actually the case. So it's not just a verbal response, it's actually an attitudinal response to those questions. Do you know Jesus? And do you recognize Jesus as your Lord and your Master? Those are the two questions that needs to be asked by somebody who is considering going to any kind of relationship with any kind of person. You know, and of course, in the Bible context, we're talking about a man and a woman. And because an incomplete person, like I said, is a dangerous person, even to date. To date the person, that person is a very dangerous person, so you need to go for a complete man. The guy needs to be complete. The lady in question needs to be complete. This applies to people that are single. It also applies to the people that are single again. Because unfortunately, you discover that there are even people who had previously experienced marriage who, when they want to go into marriage with another person, they don't even consider these things as basic. Does this person recognize Jesus? Does he have a relationship with Jesus? One. Secondly, does he take that relationship to the extent that he recognizes Jesus as the Lord and Master over his life? Because what he does not have, he cannot give. What she does not have, she cannot give. You need to recognize a complete person. And like I said, it's also fair that you ask yourself, am I also complete? Make no mistakes, people of God. When I say complete, I do not mean perfect. Complete does not necessarily mean perfect. Perfect in the sense of not needing any addition, any assistance to be able to attain to a level of growth and development and maturity. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Complete is different from perfect. The guy needs to be complete. The lady needs to be complete. That doesn't mean the guy needs to be perfect. The lady needs to be perfect. No, because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done along the line. But you must start with a complete specimen first. Now, listen to me. This is a good example. Unfortunately, there are instances when people give birth to babies that don't have all the parts of their body present at birth. You know, some missing, you know, a finger, a hand, you know, a leg. In certain instances in history, we know that there was a time, for instance, following the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know, in Japan, people were actually born without legs and all those. Those babies, unfortunately, are incomplete. They are incomplete, okay? So when you have somebody like that, that person is described as incomplete because he does not have that part of the body that makes a complete human being. Now, but let's assume that this baby is born with all of the parts complete. It doesn't necessarily mean that that the part of the body are all functioning in a perfect sense. In other words, they are functioning in a way that they no longer require assistance for growth and development. When the baby is born, he's got a leg, but you don't expect Johnny, that was born 2 days ago, to start walking. No, you need to wait until that body or that part is developed, is improved, is worked upon. So he's a complete baby, but he's not perfect in the sense that all the parts are not functioning. They are not doing exactly what they have been programmed to do. They still need to be worked upon to be able to do it exactly the same way. A complete man or a complete woman is not necessarily a person that does not have anything that you need to work upon. I mean, we are all still in this business of growth and development. You know, by the grace of God, by next year, it's going to be 20 years that I've been married to my beautiful wife, Buki, and she can tell you, like, much more than any other person, that this man that you're looking at is not perfect at all, you know. Maybe she could even go to the extent of calling me perfect anyway, but I know I'm complete in Christ, you know. but there is a lot of work still going on, you know, by God, through her, upon me. Okay, so, but it is important that you do not go into any relationship, listen to me, people of God, with an incomplete person. That's a recipe for disaster. Great marriages and great relationships begin with complete singles. They begin with complete singles. And so, for instance, some of us are in some troubles right now because at the time that we went into marriage, we were not complete. He or she was not complete. Well, maybe we were both not complete, and then we went into it, and that's why I said that some of us, although we are in marriage, we need to still continue to deal with our singleness problems, because the problem is not a marriage problem. The problem is actually a singleness problem. So the question to ask is not who completes me. The question to ask is how do I attain completeness? You know the reason why? Because when you ask the question, who completes me, you are set out to be looking for a human person. But when you ask, how do I attain completeness, then you are setting out to seeking to address an issue. And like I've just stated, you are only complete because of Christ. In Christ, I'm making him your head. That's what makes a person complete. Let me quickly delve into one other thing, which is obviously an offshoot of the first because of the brevity of our time. This is another lie, which is actually an offshoot of the first. I am single. Once I get married, I will begin to fulfill God's purpose for my life. I am single. Once I get married, then I will begin to fulfill God's purpose for my life. So, I am waiting until I get married before I begin to fulfill God's purpose for my life. The danger in having this kind of a mindset is that we begin to spend most of our part or our single life time thinking, ruminating, rehearsing about our married life. We begin to think about how it will be then rather than finding out what can be done now, you know. So instead of thinking of ourselves as singles, we begin to think of ourselves as potential married people just in waiting. We are just waiting to get there. We're just waiting to begin to fulfill our purpose and our destiny. Listen to me, people of God. And here is a very strong statement. You do not need marriage or any erotic relationship to fulfill purpose. You do not need marriage or getting involved in any erotic relationship with any person to fulfill purpose. Why? Because marriage is never necessarily a prerequisite to fulfilling purpose in God. Otherwise, Jesus will have no business fulfilling his purpose. We all know he's unmarried, or he was unmarried when he was on earth. Paul will have had no business fulfilling purpose. He wouldn't have been able to boldly declare that I've finished the course, I've finished the race. Set before me now is the crown of glory. He wouldn't have had that effrontery to be able to make that declaration because he wasn't, to the best of our knowledge, married. John the Baptist would have had no way to fulfill purpose. And you know, Jesus, the Bible actually referred to John the Baptist as the greatest prophet that has ever been. Yet he had no wife traceable to him. Why? Because marriage is not necessarily a prerequisite to fulfilling purpose and destiny. As a matter of fact, one of your most productive seasons in life is your singleness. And some of us will probably get to know about this much later on, and of course, it will be too late. The most significant and one of the most significant period of your life, productive, resourceful period of your life is in your singleness. And you have no reason to wait until you get married before you start fulfilling purpose. Because many of the time, the stage is actually already set in your singleness year as to what the future is going to hold. Many of us are the status that we have spiritually, financially, emotionally, and in every other aspect of our life. What we have today is actually a building on what we have been able to achieve during our singleness period of life. What I'm saying, people of God, is that your singleness period is not time to start waiting until you get married to fulfill purpose, because marriage is never supposed to be a prerequisite to fulfilling God's purpose for your life. And to be honest with you, and this is another strong one, getting wrongly married may actually be the reason why you will not fulfill purpose. Getting married to the wrong person, perhaps at the wrong time, may actually be the singular reason why you will never fulfill purpose. Let me make an even stronger one. Many people, unfortunately, will end up in hell simply because they got this married thing wrong. They have no business, you know, sharing a space with the devil. But because they got it wrong, seeking to have somebody to complete them that is himself not complete or herself not complete will be the only reason why they will end up in hell. And the beauty of it is getting it right may be the singular reason why some of us will enjoy not just life but eternity. And so this is a very important thing. As we begin to address this issue of our singleness, this is a time to begin to make a reflection, for instance, on self-discovery, self-improvement, self-love. It's in the period of your singleness. That's the time you are, actually, we don't have the time, that's the time you are supposed to tend and to keep the garden. To tend and to keep the garden means the time to begin to cultivate kingdom mindset and to begin to guard your heart. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Guard your heart with all vigilance, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. From verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life unto those that find them and medicine to their flesh. And so you begin to guide your heart. Why am I talking about this? Because that was the first example, the first assignment that was given to the first single person. Adam was in the garden, and God gave him a single instruction. Tend and keep the garden. Your heart is that garden. I have scriptures for that, but because of our time, your heart is that garden. And as a single person, it is time for you to tend, cultivate, kingdom mindset. Walk upon your heart and guard against intruder, the enemy, from corrupting your heart. Because that's actually what you need to keep doing until the Lord brings another complete person. The Bible calls him a helpmate, a comparable companion, until God brought Eve to come and meet Adam. He was busy tending and keeping the garden. As you begin to keep, attend, and keep your heart, the Lord is working upon another person, completing him or her, and is at the right time is going to bring him or her your way. What I'm saying, people of God, is this. To every single listening to the sound of my voice, people of God, I want you to know that your singleness is a gift from God. You need to treasure it. You are single right now. Treasure your singleness. Let he, God, who gives it, let him be the one to define it. Let it be the one to describe it. Let him be the one to determine it. Because you are a kingdom single. You are a kingdom single man. You are a kingdom single woman. You are in Christ. You have a connection with him. You have a covering. You have a covering called Christ. He's the one that calls the shot. As I round up this morning, people of God, I want you to know this. That a kingdom single is complete. It's not looking for any missing part whatsoever. A kingdom single is contented. Is happy with his current state. is contented. He's very happy with his current state. A kingdom single is confident. He's not allowing himself to be looked down upon by anyone. A kingdom single is comfortable. He's not desperate. He's not itching to get out of it. A kingdom single, interestingly, is convertible. What I mean by that is he's willing to change as his Lord pleases. If the Lord says it's time to move on into another phase called marriage, relationship, he's a convertible person. But never forget that it takes a complete single who is married to a complete single to raise a healthy family. And never forget that your completeness is not in any man. Christ completes you. And if you're here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord. You don't know him as your Savior. In other words, you don't have a connection with him. And so he's not your covering. I will give you an opportunity this morning to make him your Lord and your Savior. To recognize him as your Savior and make him your Lord. Because that's actually where your completeness begins. Your completeness is not in any man. It's in Christ. In fact, if you blow it open, you will discover that that's actually the reason why Jesus came. Why? To complete you. To complete you as a person. He doesn't want you to have missing parts on your way to the Lord's kingdom, to his Father's kingdom. He came to complete you. And that's why he came. He shed his blood on the cross to complete you. Once again, your completeness is in Christ. And as a single person, whether you are a single or a single again, or maybe you are even married, but you need to deal with this aspect, that you need to drop the idea of looking for your happiness and completeness in your partner and start looking unto Jesus. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that completes us. And it is important, it's instructive for every single person under the sound of my voice this morning to note that you need to choose the path of completeness before you look for a complete other person or a relationship. Let us pray.